as an opportunity to sit in meditation and train the mind, to train in our meditation objects together, so we can know the breath as it comes in and out, can contemplate the body as a heap of four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, or as a heap of that which is not beautiful, a heap of asubha. If we sit for a long time, then various feelings arise in the body, painful feelings, we call vedana. So when we look at the Satipatthana Sutta, there's the foundation of mindfulness of vedana, feeling tone. So when vedana or feeling tone arises, we know it. We know what is this feeling tone like. So we use that as the basis of our recollection. So before sitting down, perhaps we didn't feel any pain. And then the pain arises, but it doesn't last long. It just is there for a little while and then it disappears. So we see that with the cessation of the cause, then the pain ceases as well. So therefore, vedana is impermanent. It doesn't last. It's not me or mine, not self. But when the mind lacks sufficient strength and energy, the mind clings to this vedana, this feeling tone, as self, as me and mine. And so the suffering arises. So what should we then do? We should train. So we can train in sitting for a long time. So sometimes we practice like that, and sometimes we're able to overcome that painful feeling. So this is a test for the strength of the mind. How much strength of mind or how much energy does the mind have? So this is a test. If we don't pass the test, then we just practice more. Because if there is this painful feeling, this dukkha vedana, we can change posture as well. In the beginning, it's like that for both monastics and laity. So this painful feeling, perhaps one shifts the... If the right leg was on top of the left, then one shifts the left leg to be on top of the right. But when we do that, then the samadhi, the concentration disappears. But never mind about that, just keep training. When the body and mind feel light and at ease, then we can sit and fight with that feeling. We can compete against it. Then it can reach the point where we feel lightness throughout sitting, standing, walking, lying down. This is the peaceful mind. When the mind's not peaceful, then we fight with the vedana. We fight sometimes. So Venerable Ajahn Chah would teach to patiently endure with this pain. And if the pain's still there, then keep on patiently enduring. Keep on patiently enduring. So this is fighting with the vedana, competing against it. When we do this, we can reach the point where the mind separates from the feeling, separates from the pain. They're not related to each other. One can still feel it, one's aware of it, but the mind's separate from it. So we have effort to train more like this, for the mind to fight with the vedana, with the feeling. Sometimes we're walking, we feel pain, we feel soreness, we feel tired, but we can keep walking to the point where the pain disappears, the soreness disappears. Then at that point, we can stop walking. And then we can come to sit. And sometimes we sit and we have this feeling in the mind like that's enough, it's time to get up. But then we train the mind, we tell the mind it's not yet enough, we keep sitting longer. So this is fighting with it. And we can reach the point where the mind is peaceful and still, not proliferating about it. Because we see that it's the kilesa mara, the mara of the defilements, and then sankara mara, the mara of the conditioned formations, that lead our mind to proliferate like this. So we just know it as it arises. We know that, oh, this mind state is like that. Then we can sit longer. And we can sit more, and then we get up, we do walking. And so it's like this with the Dhamma practice in the beginning. And we keep going, where peace and samadhi increases more and more, more and more. Then the peaceful mind's able to fight with the feeling tone even more. Sometimes the feeling tone isn't very much, and sometimes it's a lot. Sometimes the pain is so much that we feel like we're about to die. But we keep fighting, we keep competing against it, reciting Bhutto, Bhutto, recollecting, well, if we die, we die. We offer our life to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. So there's a story of someone with fourth stage cancer, and they decided not to treat it. This was a disciple of a meditation monk. They decided to fight with the feeling tone, fight with the pain. And it was very torturous for them, to the point where they would cry out sometimes, and they kept fighting against it. And it reached the point where their mind gathered together, became bright and luminous. So this is the mind separating out from the pain. So this is something amazing. It's a miracle of the mind. So we can say that the feeling tone, the pain, is our teacher. So our mind keeps fighting, doesn't give up, doesn't retreat. We think, oh, death is just death. So this is the attitude of a Dhamma practitioner. And this leads us to be able to achieve victory. Now, the mind is bright and radiant. And if we haven't yet achieved victory, that means that we're still a fighter. We're fighting with the defilements, fighting with the feelings, with the feeling tone. We keep fighting. For instance, if there's one or two mosquitoes biting us, some Dhamma practitioners might feel like their mind's about to enter samadhi, maybe feeling annoyed at the mosquitoes, but just thinking, oh, they can just bite, that's fine, I'll enter samadhi first. And the mind enters stillness and emptiness. And this Dhamma practitioner opening the eyes, they see that their arms are completely covered in mosquitoes, just coated in mosquitoes. So this is a Dhamma practitioner fighting with feeling tone. Also, Dhamma practitioners fight with sleepiness and drowsiness as well. Sometimes one is sitting and the mindfulness just isn't there. Someone can sit at the edge of a well, and one feels like if one falls, then one would die. So the mind feels bright and radiant because of this fear of death. The mind becomes bright, collected in samadhi. Or, for instance, one can sit at a bell tower, and because of the fear, the mind becomes bright. And sometimes some individuals are very sleepy, perhaps having stayed up all night, not lying down all night, not sleeping. They come to sit on the meditation seat and they just fall over, hit the ground with a very loud sound. There was one older monk who entered a state of peacefulness and he was very sleepy. He actually fell asleep because he was very sleepy. And he fell down and hit the ground very loudly like that. So we shouldn't sit like that. We should be careful. We don't want to destroy or harm our bodies. But we endeavor to practice and have patient endurance first, because this is normal. So for instance, we sit for 45 minutes. The body feels painful feelings. We can change posture to stand and walk. And so this is not persevering with it in this case, because it could be torturous. But when the samadhi is more firm, then we can practice with this torturous feeling, persevere with it sometimes, to see this feeling tone is not self, not me and mine. That feeling tone is just feeling tone. The mind can separate out from it. So the mind separates out from this vedana, and one trains like this bit by bit, gradually. It's not that in the very beginning one just does it fully all at once. It's not like that. So one does it gradually, bit by bit, to see the feeling tone, the vedana in the mind. And then we see the feeling tone in the mind as well. So this is the Vedana in the mind. Like sometimes we have disliking, aversion arise. So we need to keep training. So whenever attraction or aversion arise, that's not correct. Liking and disliking arise. And we try to bring the mind to the middle. And we try to bring the mind not to have worry. Sometimes we worry about various things. Some people come to ordain and think, oh, having ordained already, if I'm 25 years old now, what will it be like in the future? If I don't meet with success and then I become sick, who will care for me? So some people come from other countries to ordain in Thailand, or people within Thailand going to Northeast Thailand to ordain, for instance. It's all the same. So one reflects and one contemplates that death is just death. That when the time is right, when the karma arises, then one must die. So one accepts death. But however it is, one seeks out the Dhamma, seeks out the truth of reality when one is still alive. So one goes to the forest and meets with tigers, dangerous animals. One recollects that, dying is just dying. One's not yet dead right now. So therefore, one keeps practicing. So it's normal to have proliferation and thinking, to worry sometimes about one's life, one's livelihood, that it's uncertain. So some people have problems in their work, worry about the future, worry about not meeting with success. And this not meeting with success and meeting with suffering, it can give the mind a good strength and energy to fight. The mind gets more strength and energy, becomes stronger to then later meet with success. So if one, or it's not that one just meets with success all at once from the beginning. It's like there was one individual who applied to work at 30 or 40 different companies, and they were turned down from every single company. So in the end, they decided to make their own company, and that company became large and successful. So we see it's up to one's effort, up to one's firm intent. But don't think about the future a lot. Thinking about the future a lot can feel heavy. Think that, well, I might die today. That in no long time, I might die. So don't be heedless, but have this firm intent first. Do your best first. However it is, be in the present. Make the mind peaceful in the present first. Know the breath as it comes in, the breath as it goes out. Make the mind peaceful and firmly established. Not to proliferate, not to think about the future, but to make the mind at ease and relaxed in the present. Because the future is not sure. So we might think about the problems that might arise, who will care for us when we're older, when we get sick. But we practice Dhamma. We see that whatever happens in the future, it's up to our karma, it's up to our merit and parami. If we have the merit for it, then people care for us. So it's up to the merit that we've built already. So therefore we practice and train the mind in samadhi, in peacefulness, to bring the mind to joyfulness. We see that Dhamma cares for those who practice it. So we can even have a Dhamma practice group, and within the Dhamma practice group, the members care for each other, have loving kindness for each other, help each other. If a member is sick, then they help that person. So this is up to the strength and energy, up to the merit and parami. So people help each other out. There was a case where a husband and wife came to the monastery frequently. And the people at the monastery would then help that couple all the way to the end of their lives. So we do merit, and we have the energy to help each other. We build parami together. And so we don't need to worry, because if we worry, it just leads to chaos and agitation. We have mindfulness in the present as much as we can. So we practice and train in loving kindness meditation, the four Brahmaviharas, the four divine abidings. May I be well and happy. May I be free from ill will. May all beings be well and happy. May they all be freed from ill will. And we recollect Asubha, the not beautiful. This helps to control the mind state of lust or raga. As we see obstacles clearly, see that worry is one type of obstacle. See that some individuals have the character type to be one who worries a lot, or a worrying character type. So if that's the case, one should see everything as empty, see it as not self. So worrying about the future, that's not correct. The Buddha taught not to dwell on the past, not to proliferate about the future, but to establish the mind in the present. Because however it is, the future will be different than how we think of it. We might think we'll get sick in a particular way, but we don't. Or someone who doesn't think they'll get sick or die, they end up getting old and sick and die first. So we just don't know how it's going to be. So firstly, we care for the mind that's busy and proliferating. We fix that first, bring the mind to peace and collectedness first, to make the mind peaceful in the present moment. To be able to do this is something that's very important. So sitting here, are we with the breath? Do we have mindfulness? To make the mind at ease in the present. So train in this way. Cultivate mindfulness and peace and samadhi to make the mind feel happy and full, not to have suffering. So we see this is up to our thoughts and views, whether our thoughts and views are correct and beautiful. So this is important. Because these thoughts of worry, well, it's just simply not sure. It's not certain that it'll be that way. So suffering is waiting for us in the future, so we need to establish the mind well in the present, have mindfulness with sitting, standing, walking and lying down, to see the body clearly, to make the body our object of meditation, to see that the body is just the body. Seeing this, the mind feels joyful and radiant. It's not thinking about the future. The mind's joyful in the present. Because we see that the future's not sure. There was one wealthy individual who was a friend with Venerable Ananda in the time of the Buddha, and he was thinking about the future, thinking, oh, I'll travel here, then I'll go there, I'll be able to make a lot of money. And the Buddha said to Venerable Ananda that your friend is thinking about the future, but life is uncertain. And so Venerable Ananda went to this friend and told him not to be heedless, but to undertake the precepts first, because life was unsure. Then later that day, that friend fell and died. So this is one example. So we might think that things are certain, but it's really not sure in truth. So we endeavor to establish our mindfulness well. Whatever our livelihood is, we seek out wealth with mindfulness and wisdom. We care for that wealth, our possessions, with mindfulness and wisdom. We can put some aside for the future when we're older or sick. So this is our duty, to manage our life properly. So we set our intention to train and practice like this, because we have the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha as our refuge. So we don't need to fear we don't need to worry, because the Dhamma cares for those who practice it. And seeing the Dhamma clearly already, then the Dhamma cares for us for sure. So we are firm in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. We're not afraid. Old age, sickness, and death will come, and that's just normal. It's natural for it to be like this. So whatever it is, we simply know it as it arises. And we see the Dhamma, we see the truth of nature. This is entering into the state of having cut off the first three fetters, the fetters of personality view, attachment to rites and rituals, skeptical doubt. So one cuts them off. This is realizing stream entry. The mind changes. The mind is firm in the dispensation of the Buddha, firm in Dhamma practice, firm in seeking out Buddha, to be able to give rise to Buddha in the mind. So may all of you grow in blessings.
Sātu, 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 ah.